Message number 4 on the First Epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the lovely name of our blessed Savior. We trust that you know Him and that through Him you have been brought into the Father's family. We continue our study in the First Epistle of John, that family letter. Today we would read from verse 5 down through verse 10. The closing verse of chapter 1. John continues to write by divine inspiration to say, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare or report unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." May the Lord bless the reading of this section from his precious word, and illuminate its truth to our minds and hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. In our preceding study of the 4 introductory verses of the epistle, we were clearly told the purpose of John's writing to the family of God concerning that blessed Son who is the incarnate Word of life. John's objective in reporting that he and his companion apostles, what they had heard and seen and steadfastly studied and handled, was in order that all the children in the Father's family might have the same joy of fellowship with the Father and with his Son. We noted that the early converts of the church, in Acts 2 particularly, in verse 42, they continued not only in the apostles' teaching, but also in the apostles' fellowship. And we must say, the apostles' fellowship, 'twas with the Father and with his Son. The enjoyment of their new relationship with the Father and with his Son continued in the lives of these new converts. I wonder if it has done the same in yours as well as in mine, my fellow believers. Let me inject a question to the hearts of God's children at this point. Repeating what I've stated, are you and am I continuing with joy to fellowship with God the Father and with his Son? Church fellowship with other Christians, precious as it may be and should be, is not to be compared with the fellowship of heart that the believer can experience in daily communion with the Father above and with his beloved Son. May we remember this every day of our life. Now, in our section of verses 5 through 10, in this first letter of John, there is a message of Christian responsibility. It follows necessarily, revealing to us that it can be one thing for us to say we are in fellowship with the Father and his Son, but another thing to prove, to manifest that we are, and that we are walking in light. For our walk, our daily walk must prove that we're in happy fellowship with the Father and with his Son. For the apostle reveals, first of all, the radical inconsistency of anyone who would say this without doing it. It has been well stated, and these words we once sang with the children. It is a grand thing to be saved and know it, but it is better to be saved and show it. Certainly, if we then say we're in fellowship with the Father and his Son, 'Tis important that we show it in our daily walk. Now in the fifth verse of this chapter, John declares to us, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is revealing the quality or the nature of God, that his own character is light, and the darkness of sin does not exist in God at all. And in speaking and writing of the light, of course, John is not writing a physical light. John is writing a spiritual light. Light that is ethical. Light that is spiritual. Light that is moral. And it is an eternal character belonging to God. And what John literally means at the end of this fifth verse, darkness in God does not exist, not even one bit. And thus he emphasizes to the family of God properly the holy character of God, with whom we have been brought into fellowship. Now in verse 6, John deals with what has been and properly can be called the heresy of antinomianism. Now let me just simply state that the word only means that there is and has been teaching that a person can live in sin and compromise with sin and at the same time have fellowship with God. Now please let me state, that has been actually taught, even in the early days of the early Christian church. Now John, in the sixth verse, he suggests an hypothetical case and supposes, in gentleness as well as in humbleness of spirit, for he includes himself with his readers, to say, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not do or practice the truth. To be in fellowship with God means that we have things in common with God. We like the same things that God likes, but we also dislike the same things that he dislikes. We have a common nature. For if you read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, we are told that the believer possesses the divine nature. For Peter writes that the children of God are partakers of the divine nature. Now in this sixth verse of John's epistle, the person that he refers to, he represents him as walking in darkness. And darkness is not of God. Namely, he's walking in sin. And yet he makes the claim of fellowship with God. But John says he's lying, and he's not practicing the truth. Now we must confess readily, firmly, this undoubtedly is one who pretends to be a Christian, who calls himself or herself a Christian. Yet by continuing in sin, that person proves that he still is in darkness. Surely such a person cannot be saved, for the whole life is a lie to what he says. And it's a denial of the essential principle and the necessary character of a Christian, who is not only the object of divine grace and is saved, but walks in the light of God. A genuine Christian can no more get out of God's light than a man who during the day walks in the light of the sunshine. Such is really what Christianity means. And this man of verse 6 is absolutely a false professor and is guilty of what we sometimes have been stated as being antinomianism, that a person can be saved and walk in sin and live in sin. Now, never does the scripture support that statement. Now, in the seventh verse, let us praise God, we have the other side and the blessed side of the fact, where the apostle states the real place of the Christian. And we find three great essential marks of a true Christian. Let me state them briefly. First, we walk in the light as he is in the light. This means we have an habitual practice, walking step by step, day by day in the light that God is in, and that God is, and in which he dwells. It is not just a question of how we walk, but more important, where we walk. For God has translated his children out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his light. And we, according to Ephesians 5:8, we're the children of light. We're not the children of darkness. And then there is a second distinctive mark. As John declares in this 7th verse, we have fellowship one with another. Now may I emphasize, I believe certainly, this fellowship is with God and with his Son. But nevertheless, thank God, there is also fellowship with the children of the family, with one another. And to have fellowship with other genuine Christians indicates we're in the light. And what a fellowship it can be and should be, with the Father, with his Son, and with one another too. Now there's a third distinctive mark at the close of this 7th verse. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. For while we are having fellowship with God, the blood of his dear Son continually keeps us cleansed from all sin. Now, my fellow Christian, you and I know that we have sins of omission, of ignorance. There are sins in a believer's life that we may know nothing about. And these would prevent our fellowship with God unless this divine provision of the constant cleansing of the defilement of our sin was not taken care of by the blood of Christ. We are always, now listen carefully, the believer is always judicially covered and under the precious blood of Christ. We are not only in the light walking, but we're always walking under the eternal shelter and efficacy of our Savior's precious blood. And may I say, when John writes, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us, get the pronouncement of that word, cleanseth us. It indicates a continuous action. We are continually, as believers, who are the children of God and in the light, being under the saving power of the precious blood of life, blood of Christ in his cleansing efficacy. What a place to be! My fellow believer, may you and I enjoy it, as well as prove it, by our conduct and our character as true children of God. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, thy truth will be impressed and indelibly manifested upon every soul, in whatever way that soul needs it, for the glory of God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.